The Radio Ashford Feel Good Hour with Sam Griffin and Nigel Jones. Get set for the weekend with a healthier, happier you. Friday lunchtime from 12:30 on the Sam Griffin Show. Radio Ashford 107.1 FM. Or on your smart speaker.
Employers rank creativity as a must-have skill. Families need it to navigate with real life, and our well-being improves when we turn challenges into experiments. If you've ever thought, I'm not creative, this hour might just rewrite that story. Joining me now is the wonderful Nigel Jones, marketing agency owner, creative best-selling author of Walking Back to Happiness, leading life coach, certified hypnotherapist, and founder of 9 Kilometres by 9am. How the devil are you?
Hi, Sam. I'm great. What a lovely introduction.
I know, right? Beautiful. And I love the jingle. It's very, very catchy.
Jingle's rocking.
Is rocking. Creativity. I've been looking forward to this since we last saw you. Let's talk about what creativity is as a definition.
Yeah, okay. Okay, so if you looked up the definition in the Cambridge Dictionary, it would say the ability to produce or use original and unusual ideas. Which is good, but I'd like to define it as making connections between two things that, say, shouldn't go together, but when you connect them, create a beautiful third. And a good story that sort of exemplifies this is the story of Leonardo da Vinci. And I'll have to take you back now to the 16th century.
I'm going.
So he was, the story goes, he was standing next to a pond, throwing pebbles into the pond, and he was watching the ripples go out across the water of the pond. And at the same time, the church bells rang, and he immediately thought that the sound was moving through the air on waves, just like the ripple was moving across the pond.
Okay.
So that's bringing two things together, which would normally be together, the bells and the pebble. He creates radio. You know, 300 years before it was actually invented. But, you know, he wrote it down that the sound moves in waves.
Yeah.
And so that for me is a really great definition of creativity. When you bring two things together, not normally together, to create the beautiful third.
It's different to our imagination though, isn't it?
Yeah. So imagination is coming up with lots and lots of ideas. And so the beauty of creativity is literally having, so coming up with the ideas, the creative side, the imagination side, but then being a realist about which ones should we take forward.
Yeah.
And then finally you have like a critique side of it as well, whereby you'll sort of pick them apart. But what's really important is not to get critical or realistic when you're generating the ideas, because that can stop you coming up with ideas.
Yeah. I'm an ideas girl.
Yes.
Lots of ideas. But I'm also creative.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm very, you know, I think for me, it's learning that the ideas, and if the creativity doesn't come naturally or easy, then it should be parked.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you can keep trying really hard to make it something, but it's not always going to work out. And I think I'm one of these people that try things. I think, oh, I'll have a go at that. You know, watch Pottery Throwdown. Oh, I love a bit of pottery.
Yeah.
And just trying stuff to see what makes your brain tick.
Yeah.
And makes your thirst for different.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. So you take on an art form or whatever it might be, you know, pick up a musical instrument. You learn the basics, but then see how you can push that a bit further around what you like.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah. I mean, we're going to come on to talk about how you can become more creative, because obviously creativity can be learned.
Yeah.
And that's one of the big things about, you know, what we're going to talk about today, is the fact that anyone can become creative.
Absolutely.
And I think you're exactly right. You know, generating ideas is, you know, really, really at the forefront of this. But giving them a go, you know, you literally have to try things out. And if it works, keep going. If it doesn't, you learn and you move on. So
there's
this great thing in coaching, which is like, there's no such thing as failure. There's only learning. So give it a go. And most, you know, in fact, all successful creatives in business have just failed so many times before they get the great idea.
Yeah.
But they try things. They try it out.
paint us a picture then. You know, what do the latest numbers say about creativity in Britain?
It's if you look at the government figures on creative industries, they're saying that it's worth around £124-125 billion.
Wow.
That's a big sector of the economy. And apparently it employs around about 2.5 million people, or 7% of the workforce. So creative industries are big. But what is going on, however, in schools is there's a drop in the amount of children who are taking the arts or music at school.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, for the longer term is frightening, because you'll have less people going into those creative industries.
Yeah, which is a real shame, because many, many children learn with a creative flair.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you kind of pigeonhole them into the formulated way of learning, it isn't always going to bring the best out of them.
No.
We've got a whole different show on this subject, because it's something that's I'm quite passionate about. But I think letting our children be creative from a very early age and learning through creativity sets them up more powerfully than trying to get them to write their name, read the book, tie their shoelaces at the age of four or five. You know, that's how we work here in this country. But, you know, I think creativity and expressing ourselves through that is a very powerful thing as children.
Yeah, because we were talking before we went on air about Scandinavia and how the children don't start going to school there until they're like, you know, 6 years old. And so they're at home more, and they're not being educated in the system, and therefore more creative things are going on in their minds.
And they go to a kind of a Montessori style of nursery where it is all around play. But you can learn so much from that kind of environment. And it's all down to our neural pathways. You know, boys' neural pathways aren't ready to really learn how to read properly until they're about 7 years old. Girls are slightly earlier. But it's all around, you know, putting the right things into those neural pathways and taking away that pressure for those neural pathways to just kind of, you know, develop naturally with a creative exploration, in my view. And Nigel is still with me chatting about creativity. In a world of AI, speed and change, why is creativity the superpower? I think it is. Where do you see it making the biggest difference right now?
I think, you know, people just have to be creative when they're using AI, because, you know, if you put rubbish in, you get rubbish out. And so it's important to learn the tools and the tricks of how to work with this new technology we have, because it is overtaking everything.
Everything is
so the way you, I mean, really, with the things that everyone's using at the moment, or the majority of people are using, what they're called, these large language models like ChatGPT, like Grok and like Google Gemini, but what you put in, the way you brief it, is so important to what you get out. And you can see some people get fantastic results and others get really sort of...
Yeah, you can tell, can't you, the ones that aren't so good.
Yeah, but it's all down to the way you talk to the AI. So being specific, setting it, you know, the right goals. I mean, just some simple tips to say to it, you know, can you actually give me the answer? Let's say let's take an example, like I want a legal contract written. So if you said to it, please write it as if you were a lawyer at a top London firm, immediately you've briefed it into taking on a persona.
Yeah.
So what you tell it is what it'll give you back. Yeah. So make sure that you tell it what success looks like to you, what you want to get out of it. Tell it what your objectives are. Tell it what the angle is you're going for. Do you want it from a teacher's perspective or a lawyer's perspective or a business
give
person's
it a bit
perspective?
More.
Yeah, so the more you tell it, the better it'll become. Yeah.
Do you say please and thank you?
Yeah, yes.
I do too.
Yeah, I do.
Could you?
I don't think that really means anything.
Think it's polite. But it's, I feel like I'm asking a human something. So it's please could you, right?
Yeah.
Thank you.
I mean, I've given mine a name.
Oh, so, what's its name?
It's called Vida.
Vida.
Yeah, so it's this came out of the that's the one of the Norse gods of speed, I think it is.
Because
I was really impressed by how quick, you know, the answers came back.
Yeah.
And they came back so soon, and I just thought of Vidar so soon. And so I'll just call it, it's actually got a surname as well. It's
brilliant.
Called Vidar so soon. That's what my AI is called.
Brilliant. We all need to aim and name our AIs. Now, we can all learn to be more creative, but what holds us back? What is it that stops us from being so creative?
There's lots of things, but I think the main thing is fear. I mean, there's a definite fear that, you know, you're going to fail, or if I come up with this idea, people are going to laugh at me. And it all comes down to, there's this great saying, and I think it was by Joseph Campbell, which was in the cave that we fear to enter lies the treasure that we seek. Mm. And that saying for me was just such a powerful, powerful phrase that I used in my own sort of well-being. But it's so true that the caves that we don't go into because we're scared, that's where all the answers are, and that's where our future is. And so with creativity, it's really down to like a fear of failing, a fear of being laughed at because you're doing something different. But you know, in life we regret the things that we don't do, not the things that we do. And I think it's so important that, like you said earlier on, back to what you said right at the beginning, give it a go and do it. If you don't get out there and do it, you're not gonna know what it was like to Absolutely. Do it in the first place.
And that kind of leads us on to the next thing. Now, walk us through some ways where we can be more creative. You know, you mentioned worst idea, best idea. Why does starting badly unlock something good?
Yeah, so we used to do this in the advertising agencies I worked at, and it was to come up with a great idea. It was the easiest way to do it is when you've got, like, say, 5 or 6 people sitting around a table, is rather than say, right, can we all come up with a great idea for this brand, or we'd ask them to come up with rubbish ideas.
Yeah.
Because people have no problem with coming up with rubbish ideas, because we've taken the fear of failing out.
Yeah.
Because everyone has a rubbish idea.
100%.
And there's no problem with having a rubbish idea. So all of a sudden you have loads and loads of content coming out, and it just gets flooded with rubbish ideas. Mm. And the great thing about rubbish ideas is they have an opposite. And the opposite of the rubbish idea is normally a really good idea. Mm. So I'll give you an example. If we're, say, looking for come up with a name for a new, a city-friendly car that goes around cities. And we say, right, well, let's think of the worst things we can call this, which would people wouldn't buy it. Mm. So we'd call it like the Gas Guzzler 5000.
Yeah.
Or the Clunker XL. Or the Brick.
Yeah.
No one's going to buy a car called that.
No.
But by throwing all these out, and we look at the worst ones there, and then look at the opposites of them. So the opposites of those names would be come out things like, well, the opposite of what we said there is efficiency, or the opposite is light, or the opposite is nimble or friendly. And then all of a sudden you've got names like Luna, Nova, Whisper, the Spry, the Maven. And that's all come out of coming up with rubbish ideas, and then looking at the flip.
I love it so much. Now, you know, we talked very briefly about being over creative.
Yes.
You know, because sometimes you can be so creative that actually you can that can have like a negative connotation. Yeah. You know, I'm quite a creative person, and sometimes I can get really carried away with my creativity.
Yeah.
Whether that be writing, art, it can become a bit of an obsession.
Yeah. So Disney, basically, Walt Disney is well known for being one of the biggest creative minds that ever lived. Mm. And he followed a process. And there was like three sides to that process. One was the dreamer.
Yeah.
Which is, in a way, what you're describing there.
Yeah.
You come up with loads and loads and loads of ideas. But the dreamer needs to have a realist.
Yeah.
So after you... they're like hats in a way you put on. So the first hat you would put on would be, I'm the dreamer. I'm going to come up with loads and loads of ideas. Once you got all those ideas, take that hat off, put another hat on called the realist.
Yeah.
And then say, well, actually, which of these is sensible? I'm going to look from a realistic point of view now.
Yeah.
And then you've got another short list then, which you then put on another hat called the critic, which will come in and sort of start picking at it until you get your final idea.
Yeah.
But what you don't want to do is bring the critic in right at the beginning, because then you won't get any ideas at all, because they'll all be shot down immediately.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there's it's a great, great asset to have to come up with ideas. Mm. But then to make them truly creative, you bring in that realist and the critic afterwards.
So interesting.
The Radio Ashford Feel Good Hour with Sam Griffin and Nigel Jones. Get set for the weekend with a happier you. Whoa. Friday lunchtime from 12:30 on the Sam Griffin Show. Radio Ashford, it on 7th and 1 FM or on your smart speaker. Yeah.
is the pop version, pop punk version of our jingle. I love it.
I love it too.
It's so good.
There are three versions out there, apparently, aren't there?
It's so good. We're talking about creativity, which is something I'm very, very fond of. I am a creative being, as they say. What can we learn from the great creative things? Obviously, you mentioned Walt Disney earlier on, yeah. Einstein, Da Vinci, so many more.
Yeah. So we talked about Disney, we talked about Da Vinci, but let's go a little bit more in depth about Leonardo Da Vinci. So his approach is all about observation, mm-hmm. And taking notes and just relentless curiosity as well.
Yeah.
And I think that's a real buzzword in creativity. Yeah. Curiosity. Yeah, being curious is everything, you know, questioning everything. Yeah. You know,
although,
looking for a different
answer. As parents, when we have toddlers, we kind of get fed up with that curiosity, but it is so important.
Completely, yeah. You're thinking out of the box. You're looking for, you know, in thinking out of the box is really a definition of creativity as well. Because we live in boxes.
We do.
And we've talked about this on other shows.
Yeah,
like
we,
our house is a box, our car is a box, the office is a box, the bus is a box, everything's a box.
Everything's a box.
And then you end up in a box.
Let's think out of the box.
Let's think
right
out
now.
Of the box, everybody. Yeah. So yeah, Da Vinci is all about, you know, that sort of curiosity style. Thomas Edison, who invented the light bulb, is continuous testing, and it's all about the persistence and not perfection.
Yeah.
So in a way, perfection is the enemy of creativity.
Yeah.
So literally, get rid of that. Get rid of the fact that it has to be perfect. Yeah. Just try new ideas all the time. Yeah. So we can learn from these people. As you know, all the great thinkers followed processes.
Yeah, I think it's so important. Now, I'm looking forward to talking about this. What is the RAS and why does asking the right questions give us the answers we actually seek?
Okay, so the RAS is short for the rhetorical activating system. That sounds very posh, doesn't it?
It does sound very posh.
And that's what keeps us alive. It's basically our brain working behind the scenes to keep us going, make sure your heart beats, make sure you breathe, make sure you prove the thoughts that you're thinking. Because our brain is like a prover thinker, so we like to prove ourselves right all the time.
Okay.
So have you ever, so a good way to describe the RAS or the RAS is just to talk about when you've tried to remember a name of someone but you just can't quite do it.
Yes.
So it might be like you're talking to a friend and you're talking about a movie that you watched and what was the name of that woman or that guy who played that role? And you just can't get the name.
And it's like, it's really annoying.
But you know, you know it's there, but you can't get it. So you don't actually work out what it is. And then 3 days later, you're walking down the road or you're sitting on the loo or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And then you go, Tom Cruise. Right. And it just comes out.
Yeah.
Now, what's going on here is the RAS is working behind the scenes to answer that question for you.
Wow.
So 3 days ago, you asked yourself the question, what was that actor's name? You didn't know at the time, but it's been working through the subconscious mind to find the answer for you.
Yeah.
Now, because that's a proven neuroscience process or a program. Now, because you know that, if you ask yourself the right questions all the time, then your brain will be continually working to give you the answers that you want.
Mm.
So it might be, how can I lose weight? How can I stop smoking? Or how can I, you know, get to my interview on time? Whatever it is.
Yeah.
But if you ask yourself these questions, you know that your subconscious mind will be working on the answer. Mm. And then you might be walking down the road in 2 days' time and you go, oh, yeah, I hadn't thought about that.
Yeah.
But it just didn't come to you out of the blue. It came to you because you asked yourself that question. So that is creativity.
Yeah.
You know, you're learning how to be creative by asking yourself the right question.
Yeah.
So that's the RAS is really, 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 really powerful. And you can couple that with subconscious work as well. So when you go to bed at night, when your subconscious mind really takes over and starts working through your dreams, take a pad and a pencil with you and just put it by the side of your bed and think of something that you need the answer to, a problem you have.
Okay.
Just the last thing you do before you go to sleep or you put the light out. And then make sure the pen and paper is still there. And then normally, it might not happen the first night, but one of the nights you wake up and you go, wow, I've got the answer. But don't wait to write it down. Write it down immediately because you might go out to the loo or brush your teeth and come back and think, oh, I'll write it down now. Then you've forgotten it. And it's gone. And you, and it's really hard to get back once it's once it's gone.
It's fascinating. So, isn't the brain wonderful?
Yeah. So those are two really, really easy tips anyone can do. Mm. Pen and paper by the side of the bed. Ask yourself the right questions.
Yeah. Because there's going to be people out there that are going to be going, do you know what? I don't think I'm creative. Mm. Because they're not into, you know, arts and crafts or music or anything like that. You know, at any age, we can start becoming creative, can't we? There's no there's no limit to when we can and can't do it.
Of course, yeah. And you know, what we've been talking about are different tips and tools you can use to become more creative. So anyone can become creative. Yeah. It was thought a few years ago that the people who were right side, who use their right side of their brains more, were more creative than those that use their left side. So right side was associated with dreaming and coming up with ideas, and left side was associated with logic or creating lists and stuff. But it's been proven by neuroscience that actually both sides are really important, and there's like a network that operates between both.
So no
one's like, oh, you're a creative and you'll always will be one, and you're a logical person, you'll never be creative. Anyone can be creative. I mean, just following a few of these examples here that we've talked about will make you more creative immediately.
So do something that kind of scares you a little bit. Have a dive in and have a go. You know, there's so many different things out there now that we can get hold of that's creative. And creativity, I think, over the years has broadened slightly because of the, you know, the technology we have. You know, we've got people that are really into gaming and stuff like that and really would love to learn how to create one. Well, create it.
Yeah.
Look into how you could create one. You know, don't be scared to do it.
Yeah, and also use the AI that you have. You have to remember, like, you know, that ChatGPT sitting on your phone or on your laptop is basically your creative friend. So you could tell it it's a creative and you need to come up with some creative ideas. and then ask it, how does it define creative, and could it give you three tips on how you could be more creative around this problem?
Yeah, and actually you could also put into them, tell them what you like and say, could you give me any tips on being creative more for this type of thing?
Yeah, exactly.
Because you might not be able to think of something off the top of your head that's linked to what you like.
Yeah, and it's really important to start narrow and then widen out. Yeah. So don't go into like, oh, can you tell me everything about this?
Yeah.
So start off with like, I'd like to find out how whatever it is, like a pencil is made or something.
Yeah.
And then you just drill down from there, and then you widen it afterwards when you've got your answer.
Fascinating. Mr. Jones.
Hello.
We are talking about creativity.
Yep.
Is a curious mindset important?
Important. And let's sort of take a step back then. So if we think of our mind as having just two mindsets. If you're in, and they're like linked to the army, so like a military style mindset. The soldier is someone, a mindset which is where we're looking after ourselves, where we are always right. We're moving forward. This is the way we do it. It's really ego driven.
That
I'm right. This is the way it's always been done.
Yeah.
Now there's another type of person in an army called the scout. And this is almost like changing, coming out of that mask, taking the soldier mask off and saying, right, I'm going to put a new mask on myself now called the scout.
Yeah.
And the scout is the part of the army who will go and have a look over the hill to see where the invading troops are or what's going to be coming up over that horizon tomorrow.
Yeah.
So they're taking a different view. They're being curious. And that scout mentality really aids creativity.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you're not saying, right, I'm right all the time. That's just the way it is. I've always done it this way. You say, well, hang on a minute. Maybe I'm not right all the time. Mm. Maybe there's another way. And that's what the scout mindset is. And if you have a scout mindset, you are definitely going to move into that sort of more creative area of your life, and you'll look at things differently. So being a scout definitely aids being more creative.
Yeah, 100%. And also, you know, you can give listeners some tips now, maybe about, you know, creating better names or slogans or content for their businesses.
Yeah. So I've worked in advertising and marketing, you know, all my life. And there's some great things that you learn over the years. Mm. And just share a few of those. I mean, one of the ones I really like was thinking about your business or your product or whatever it is you're selling Think about the outcome, not just the product. And what that means very simply is if you are Black and Decker, for example, don't think about selling drills, but think about selling holes in walls.
Yeah.
Because the outcome of the person buying that drill is to drill a hole.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if you come at it from that angle, it's different. You know, and if you're a makeup company like Max Factor, what do they actually sell makeup, or do they sell things like hope?
Mm.
You know, so if you look at it from a different angle,
yeah,
you can create different things. There's a good one which has been around for a while. If you want to come up with a name or a pitch for your business, and it's basically to come up with answers to the questions: what's my name? What's the same as me? What's my fame? What's my game? And what's my aim? Mm. So it's name, same, fame, game, right. Aim.
Yeah.
And you try to answer, or you answer all of those, and you come up with a name for your business, basically. Or what you do. Yeah. It's almost like your elevator pitch. And
yeah.
What that means is if you step into an elevator and you're going up one floor, and in that elevator is someone who wants to buy your product or is a potential client, what do you say to them in the 10 seconds you've got going between the ground floor and the first floor? So let's take an example. If you ran a bakery, right, you could say, so you could take your name, let's call it the Flower Pot Bakery. So your game would be, we're in artisan food and hospitality. You could say we're the same as Gales. So that sounds pretty cool straight away.
Yeah.
Your aim could be, we want to be the most loved bakery in Kent. And so you put that all together and you'd say, you know, we're the Flower Pot Bakery. We're a local artisan bakehouse serving handcraft breads and pastries. We're a boutique version of Gales, and we combine quality with creativity and local ingredients and a personal touch.
Love it.
So you can see how you can come up with a great, great pitch just by using name, same, fame, game and aim.
Love that.
So that's
it. Now, you do training on creativity, don't you?
I do indeed, yeah. Because like we said, you know, like anyone can learn to be creative.
Yeah.
And I do that through my life coaching. So yeah. I do like business coaching and creative coaching.
Love that.
And I have a course called Create. Yeah. So it's interesting to, there's another one which I'd share, which is called the Stick of Rock Theory. So if you've ever been to like Brighton or the seaside, you know, you can buy those candy rocks with, you know, and it says Brighton Rock written all the way through it. Yeah. One thing about a business is to work out what is your Brighton Rock.
Yeah.
So wherever you crack that rock in half, it should say what you do.
Yeah.
So for example, if you used a business like Disney, it's Brighton Rock would be magic.
Yeah.
So if you crack Disney, whenever you meet the Disney brand, it should say magic. So whether you're standing in its reception at its head office in London, or you're in one of its hotels or fun parks, the Disney brand gives you magic.
Yeah.
And it's important for any brand, whether you're a car sales or whether you're a radio station or whether you're a small bakery, you'll have a Stick of Rock name. And I help people find out what that is. And that can really, really help you sell products. So working for like some of the world's largest brands, you know, if you take, say, Kraft Philadelphia cheese, right, its Stick of Rock is not cheese, it's permissible indulgence.
Oof.
So, but once we know that, we can come up with great advertising campaigns like Naughty But Nice.
Or
You Deserve It.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, but that comes from understanding what your Brighton Rock is, basically. Yeah. But, you know, anyone can learn this. You can learn how to do this.
Yeah. Thank you so much for coming in. It's always a pleasure. You'll be back in a few weeks.
Yeah.
And don't forget to look out for Nigel's book, Walking Back to Happiness, which you can get on all major platforms. And of course, working with Nigel, you can get in touch by email at nigel@9kilometersby9am.com, and also his website as well, to have a look more about his hypnotherapy, his coaching, and maybe doing a creative workshop. Thank you so much, as always.